Welcome to the Dangerous Men Podcast. This is Lowell Seashore with my guests today, Bryce, Caleb, and Shay, where we fight for all young men to be free. We were talking to Bryce just a little while ago on the back deck eating a burger, and he said something that we all like, that's right. So we're going to ask him to start by repeating what he said. Bryce, you're on.
I said, when I started Dangerous Men, I thought there was going to be a clear after Dangerous Men, but there is no after Dangerous Men.
Explain that.
I think when I initially signed up and I did it, I thought that I would be able to change and kind of my habits or things like that would stay in the past. I didn't really realize what the curriculum was really doing for me at the time.
And what is the, what did the curriculum do for you?
I mean, it changed a lot of what I thought about my faith, what I thought about God, what I thought about lust. It gave me educational offensive tools to use when I needed them most.
Man, you must have had a really good group leader.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would say Skiba was like one of
the
best
out there.
Oh, get out of
here. Yeah, it was a good time. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. 6 years ago.
No, more than that.
Seven, eight.
Okay, yeah, how old were you when you first went through it?
16.
Yeah, 16. Yeah. Well, I was probably 15.
Yeah, you're probably 15.
Yeah, 15.
Sophomore in high school.
Sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 15, 16.
And now, how many years out of college?
I am 2 years.
Two years out of college.
And so the battle for lust, has it changed or kind of stayed the same or intensified?
Well, I've been in different seasons, you know, relationships, single. So I would say the battle for lust overall has changed. I mean, for me, it's changed. It's still there. Don't get me wrong. It's still there and it's still a fight. But the fight's changed, definitely.
And earlier you talked about discipleship. Mm-hmm. Tell us about what your thoughts are with what Dangerous Men did for discipleship for you.
Discipleship, I learned really the tools were teaching me how to, I was learning about my relationship with God and what that looked like and what it was supposed to look like in a holy, kind of pure way.
Yeah.
And that's what I was learning.
Yeah. I keep fighting in a way that this is not a purity group or this is not a purity thing. This is about discipleship. Jesus called us all to go make disciples. This is part of the discipleship process. And yes, we start with sexual issues, but it's way bigger than that. We do way more than that. The principles that are there are straight out of the scripture. And so they help us just in our walk with God. Lately, what you've been up to there, Shay?
Having a kid. It's pretty cool. Found out we're having a boy. So I get to train up my own little rager. Oh dear. But yeah, it's been really cool. I was able to lead my little brother and a group of his buddies through Dangerous Men, and then after that, I was telling you on the porch, it's kind of turned into this discipleship relationship with my little brother and his buddy. I feel like for me, before Dangerous Men, I thought discipleship was like meet at Perkins 6 a.m. every Wednesday forever and go through a curriculum, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That there's a lot of fruit can come with that. But I don't like when you look at Jesus and how he discipled his disciples, he just told them, follow me and like just watch me do what I do.
Yeah. Hang out by the fire.
Yeah. Hang out by the fire. There's a really cool show called The Chosen
that is cool.
It's a good show.
If you haven't watched The Chosen, it's free on YouTube.
Yeah.
It is the only Christian movie or show that I didn't think was totally cheesy.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I mean, saying something?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them out there. I can't watch a lot.
Yeah. I'm very old, so I've seen a lot of cheesy, stupid Christian movies.
Yeah, and I think in that show specifically, it really kind of displays discipleship in a really authentic way. One of my little brother's buddies, Stefan, like we've just been hanging out. He comes over, we walk to Chipotle, talk on the way, eat, like, and just hang out, and he just asked me questions, and we just kind of do life together. And then we went on a vacation, actually, with him, my little brother, sister, my wife, and I, and I don't know. It was just really cool because it's like it's not like you're this structured thing. It's just like, hey, come hang.
Yeah, I had people ask me if I would disciple them, and they live in a different city, and I say no, I can't. I don't know how to do that. To me, discipleship is just what you said. You have to live with me. You have to be around me. You have to see what I do, and you have to see Jesus in me and how it plays out in the world, hopefully. You know, it's like we have to live together and share ups and downs together and fight together, and that's discipleship. Yeah. It costs. There's a cost to discipleship. It takes time, money, and effort. Always. Time, money, and effort. It'll cost me a lot of money. It costs me a lot of food.
You good know, food, too.
Food, oh, yeah. Like, drinks.
No arguments there.
Cigars.
Cream ale.
It all is time, effort, and money, and it's worth it because we're our call. Jesus called us. This is it. We're called to make disciples. And I don't think you could wuss out and say it's somebody else's gift and not mine. Mm-hmm. I don't think that works to me.
No, I mean, but it's like the Great Commission is go and make disciples who make disciples. So I feel like I kind of think of it like God literally created us to make disciples. Like that's our main mission. So like how do we find the most peace, the most joy, the most fulfillment in life? We do that by doing what we were created to do. So
yeah,
which is sweet. It's like the ultimate adventure.
Yeah.
I always tend to think about, you talk about making disciples and getting out there and always trying to start groups and get people involved and all of the discipling that goes on. And then there's people out there who that is not their jam. They don't feel comfortable engaging and orchestrating events, and they're not the ones out there leading. So like, I always think, is it okay to be a follower? Is it okay to just kind of sit back and be discipled, or how does that work? And maybe, I don't know if you ever, Lowell, I've always seen you as like the leader and organizer. I wonder, have you been to like, who was a big discipler for you or someone that
really there wasn't invested? Any, I think that unintentionally, probably my father.
Sure.
You know, well, maybe it was intentional. I didn't know it. But I didn't have anybody outside the family. And that's what kind of pushed me to go, no, I got to figure this out. I got to learn how to help people know Jesus, make disciples who aren't wussy,
yeah.
warriors for the kingdom. You know, yeah. It's like that is not easy, and it still isn't easy. But in this time of my life, it's a whole lot easier. Before, I had to really intentionally get a hold of them and do things. But now, you know, like this week, I had 23 guys call me up and say, I'd like to come over. That's not hard. But that's, you know, 100 years down the line because I'm 120. But, you know, that's over time. That's part of it. You know enough people and they all want to be a part of it continually, you know. Sure. So I have a 60-year-old group, a 50-year-old group, 40-year-old group, you know, that kind of thing. 20s. The younger ones are way more fun, by the way.
Right. That's right. Yeah. That's us. Right. It's, yeah. It kind of sounds like what you're saying is like there's this mentality of even if I'm not a leader or someone who's going to jump in and start something, by the act of being disciples or seeking out mentorship by someone in the community that you do know, there's a sense of growth there that tends to then multiply itself. And so like you, by transforming yourself, you then all of a sudden start to, in essence, the leader can be transformed by you as well. So what you're saying is as you mentor other people, that affects you in positive ways too.
Sure.
That's great.
Sure. And I think if you're a young person, you absolutely should go find a mentor, which is a discipler, you know, or you could do a mentor at work for your skill sets. An older person, you could do a mentor, a spiritual mentor. Shay, you've done pretty good at that.
Yeah.
You know, tell about that.
Well, I mean, mentorship is to me is a no-brainer because, I mean, I like to learn how to do a lot of things and I'm not always the most patient. And a mentor kind of makes you more efficient at life in a way because they've made a ton of mistakes and they can tell you, hey, don't do that. Do this. And if you listen to them, you can do a lot more faster.
But you have a couple mentors.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a mentor for like when I have like a business problem, like I'm doing maybe a real estate transaction, like I call Lowell, and then I call another mentor who's in sales and has had a really successful career in sales. And I just try to get advice from different angles, and that has helped me out of a lot of hairy scenarios. I mean, it's biblical too.
It is.
Seek wise. I know there's a verse somewhere in there.
Somewhere.
Funny how that works.
Right? Yeah. It's like seek wise counsel, or many counselors is good. I don't know.
I had a guy from Chicago call me the other day, and he goes, I'm reading Proverbs, and it says, seek wise counsel, listen to wise men, so I'm calling you. I said, well, too bad for you. But yeah, I mean, find a mentor. And it could be two or three. I mean, depending on the areas, what you want to learn. If you're in sales, like Bryce, find somebody who's really good at sales. Ask them to spend a little time with you, you know.
Do you have a business sales mentor, Bryce?
Yeah, I mean, I have kind of similar to Shay. I've got a couple mentors. And, I mean, my number one professional mentor would be my father. I chat with him a lot. And then within my company, I meet with people on a biweekly or monthly basis and just pick their brain, you know, kind of ask them the roadblocks they faced and, you know, kind of think ahead of the game, right? Learn the lessons that they learned the hard way, learn them the easy way for myself. So.
And so how does discipleship fit into this?
When you are discipled, it helps you understand how to disciple.
Exactly.
So me watching you, Lowell, disciple me, I do a lot of what I learned from you for the guys that I disciple, and that's, I don't know. It's really cool.
No. I think discipleship, though, too, I was talking to a buddy about this, is it keeps you engaged. You stay active in whatever environment you're in, whether it's dangerous men, professional sports, whatever it is. It keeps you engaged in that topic. And for me, it keeps me moving forward, you know, instead of maybe becoming complacent or slipping even backwards.
And especially spiritually.
Yeah, exactly.
It's real. I mean, it's a fight. It's a fight to keep growing. Right. You know, we like to plane off and not dig in and keep growing.
Yeah. That's the easy route.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I might mess this up, but there's like three relationships that everyone should try to figure out how to have. And Paul had them. So I think Paul had Barnabas, which was his mentor, and the person that kind of taught him about Jesus and how to do what Paul did. And then he had Timothy or Silas. One of the two was like his peer, like his buddy, that they're on the same mission. They had
not
the same vision.
Timothy.
Not Timothy. Silas. Timothy. Silas. Silas, yeah. Silas was the Paul's buddy. So like have that mentor and then have somebody in your life like that's on your same level, that's going after what you're going after, that gives you energy, pushes you, encourages you, but then also have someone like Paul did, like Timothy, that you mentor and disciple. So like those three relationships I think are like vital to being able to really fully enjoy like all the gifts that God's given us.
Yeah.
I wanted the Bible to have a book written by Timothy, not for Timothy. You know, I mean, like, what happened after that? What did he do? What happened in his life? You know, who did he, you know, mentor or disciple? And
you're mentored by Paul. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, could you imagine?
That'd be pretty intense, at least.
You'd definitely get hurt.
Okay, we're going to go get beaten today, so let's go. Yeah, I mean, pretty cool. Last words. What is the most important thing you could think about that happened to you when someone discipled you? What is a memory that you have that sticks out in your mind?
For me, thinking about you, there's not like one specific memory, but it's more like a collection of memories on how you always are like so selfless and you like you serve me. So it could be as little as like just making food, cleaning up, just taking my plate, or it's like if I need something, there's been multiple times where you're like, hey, I'll come over and do that for you, or I'll bring this to your house, and I'm just like, wow, like that really makes me feel loved and respected, and then I love you more because of it.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's like, I think that's one thing that I've learned and that I've been trying to do to the guys that I'm discipling, is just kind of intentionally serve them to make them feel loved.
Some of the mentors, and yourself included, Lowell, that have made such an influence in my life, one of the big things is the idea of support that I have for goals that I want to accomplish in life, and the fact that I have like this support structure that's pushing me forward. It's not a top-down authority type thing where they're lording over me and bossing me around as much as they are like a scaffolding underneath saying, like, you can do this. You are more capable than you know. And that just gives me that drive to move forward to the goals that I have and makes me more successful. So that's a huge influence.
Yeah, I would say right off that is any good mentor, yourself included, I always say they're able to see around the corner. In my life, you know, when I didn't think I was going to measure up or I don't know, whatever it was.
Do you remember any specific?
I remember there was times where in college, I didn't think I was going to, I became an RA. It was a pretty hard position to get at the university I was at. It was really sought after. And I talked to a couple mentors that I had and just was lamenting how I felt like I was not measuring up in terms of the interview process and all that. And every step of the way, they always told me, they're like, no, like you've always risen to the challenge, just spoke life into me. And it was, they envisioned me as an RA before I even had the position or before I even could envision myself accepting the position.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Thanks for listening. Go to dangerousmenunited.org where you could purchase the book, which is a small group curriculum, and there's a lot of other resources on the website. And don't forget, be a man to men, a warrior to demons, and always God's boy.